Please pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The summer he completed ninth grade, our older son Luke wanted to go to our church camp, which many of you know about, called Cedar Kirk. Luke had gone to Cedar Kirk most summers, attending one camp experience or another. But after the ninth grade, you could attend Senior High Leadership Conference, SHL. Is it called that still? I don't know. Yes. It is? Okay. That's what Luke wanted to do. Go to SHL. But now I knew about SHL that it was an intentional, relational, small group experience that lasted 2 weeks. There were only 6 or 8 high school kids and their counselors in the program each session. And because Luke was a rather reserved, almost private person, I was nervous about how he would like senior high leadership. In fact, because I knew that the campers went home the weekend between the 2 weeks, I was afraid Luke would not want to go back for the second week, and I would have to decide whether to insist or not, and whether I could do it. If I had to. Well, either I didn't know Luke very well, or I didn't understand the power of Cedar Kirk. Because during that weekend, Luke walked around our house all day long saying, "I should be at Cedar Kirk. I should be at Cedar Kirk." And it turns out, you see, that SHL was a transformational experience for Luke. In fact, after the second week, when I went to pick him up after his 2 weeks, Luke begged me to let him go back for the next 2 week session. "They have room," he pleaded. "I'll pay for it myself." So, what do I mean that it was a transformational experience for Luke? I mean that he found the experience richly rewarding, and that he found it helped him to be more confident in relationships with others and more understanding of himself. In those ways, it was transforming for him. Today's readings offer us 2 transformational stories. Obviously, one is the transfiguration of Christ on the mountain when Jesus appears shining white, standing with Moses and Elijah, who are both long dead. Note that for the writers of the Gospels, this moment is the turning point for Jesus in his ministry. For after the transfiguration on the mountaintop, Jesus is said now to turn his face toward Jerusalem. In other words, from that point on, Jesus is headed toward the cross. The other text that we've read, that Jennifer has read for you today, explains about who Elijah is. After all, there he is on the mountain with Moses and Jesus in the transfiguration. And the story of Elijah has been an important story for the Jewish people. Because of its importance, the story is told, this story you've just heard, is told in vivid detail. Look what we learn in the first verse, that God will take the prophet Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind. Now that's a pretty big tip-off about how important this is. Who gets taken up in a whirlwind after all, but someone of importance? And what does that mean? It means this is the end of Elijah's life and work here on the earth. Elisha, have to pay attention to the names, don't you? Elijah, Elisha, Elijah, Elisha. J comes before SH in the alphabet. That's how you know which one comes first, right? Lost my place. I shouldn't look around like that. Elisha is the one who tells us this story. And here he is walking with Elijah. But Elisha, we find out, is about to lose his beloved teacher and friend. So note the stops along the journey. Beth-El, Jericho, the Jordan River, all very important places in the story of the people of Israel. Elijah and Elisha keep encountering other prophets, men of God, who over and over again in the story take Elisha aside and say, "Today the Lord will take your master away from you." And Elisha answers, "I know. Don't speak about it. Be quiet." The power of the question and the fact that it keeps being repeated word for word in the narrative calls us to pay attention to what's going on here. This is important, the story is saying to us. Elijah is about to be taken up by a chariot of fire. Well, this is amazing indeed. And Elijah's student, assistant, successor, Elisha, is about to become the lead prophet for Israel. For his part, Elisha is both deeply sorrowful and intensely anxious. How will he manage without Elijah to guide him? How will he measure up to the one whose footsteps he will follow, whose mantle he will be wearing? There is transformation here in this story, not only for Elijah, but for Elisha. In fact, one secret I'll let you in on about this story is that the story is really about Elisha, not so much about Elijah. The ascension of Elijah is the transformation of Elisha from student to master, from assistant to prophet. It is an amazing story. We'll do some reading sometime, perhaps you have, about the Underground Railroad. And you find out about the song you know, you may be already humming it in your head, "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, Coming For to Carry Me Home." The song tells the story of Elijah's ascension, but it was one of the songs that preserved the hopes of the men and women and children who lived in the grim, cruel, and violent life of 18th and 19th century American slavery. The words to this spiritual proclaimed the hope that there was something better. "Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home." There was something better in the life promised by God in heaven for all of us. We've talked about that these last weeks. But also something better if you could cross the river from the south into Maryland or Indiana or Pennsylvania and eventually cross the border into Canada. It is believed that this song, "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot," is one of the ones that were used when the Underground Railroad conductors, as they were called, signaled to slaves in the fields or in the shanties that it was time to go. "I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? A band of angels coming after me, coming for to carry me home." The words meant to those slaves, "Be ready tomorrow at moonrise in the deep woods to meet up with the traveling group." That's what the words might mean. We're going north. We're going home. Coming for to carry me home, to the new home for folks who dreamed of freedom. We know that music can tell stories in such a way that we hear the story of the heart, the transformational story. That old spiritual Swing Low, Sweet Chariot is that story of the ascension of Elijah and the transformation of Elisha and the hopes of those in slavery. The hymn that follows this sermon is one such piece of music, one that gives us the words of the heart. It may or may not be familiar to you, I don't know. Swiftly pass the clouds of glory. The words aren't old. They were written in 1985. How old were you in 1985? See if anybody's here. Not here. But those words powerfully tell the story of the transfiguration of Jesus, and they draw us into the story and help us see what its meaning might be for you and me as Christians, as people of faith. Listen to those words. Swiftly past the clouds of glory, heaven's voice, the dazzling light, Moses and Elijah vanish. Christ alone commands the height. Peter, James, and John fall silent, turning from the mountain's rise downward toward the shadowed valley where their Lord has fixed his eyes. Glimpsed and gone the revelation. They shall gain and keep its truth, not by building on the mountain any shrine or sacred booth, but by following the Savior through the valley to the cross. And by testing faith's resilience through betrayal, pain, and loss. And then verse 3 offers a prayer. Lord, transfigure our perception with the purest light that shines, and recast our life's intentions to the shape of your designs, till we seek no other glory than what lies past Calvary's hill, and our living, and our dying, and our rising by your will. Peter and James and John come down the mountain. They follow this Jesus whom they love but hardly ever quite understand. He went up the mountain and now he comes down into the valley, that shadowed valley. Remember the 23rd Psalm? The valley of the shadows of death. He comes into the shadowed valley to the place of danger and of risk and of sacrifice. And Peter and James and John will follow him there. And that's where we go too, my friends, you and I, into that valley, living the life of risk and sacrifice and faith, because we are called to follow where he leads. And it isn't always on the mountaintop. Sometimes it's in the valley. So I will invite you to sing this story with me, but I might sing the first verse for you. Let's see, number 73. I'll give you a hint about the tune. And also, if you like to read music, this might be a time to pick up the hymn book instead of following the words on the screen so you can see what the tune is doing. Merrily, what's a C sound like? Yeah, I'm going to just sing verse 1 so you don't have to play for me. I might mess it up. And if she's playing, you'll know I messed it up. But that's too high for me anyway. Swiftly past the clouds of glory, heaven's voice, the dazzling light, Moses and Elijah vanish. Christ alone commands the height. Peter, James, and John fall silent, turning from the summit's rise. Downward toward the shadowed valley, where their Lord has fixed his eyes. Now I'll let Merrily play it, and you can sing verses 1, 2, and 3 as we sing this story. You may stand if you're able as we sing about the Transfiguration.